All right. Well, this morning, I want to talk about freedom. And part of it fits in so well because I saw people walking in freedom and walking in the joy of the Lord and walking in just a sense of joy, the smiles and the countenance. And how did that happen? How does that happen? If you turn in your Bibles to John 8, verse 32, we will, and I will prayerfully say quickly, look at this, because it is warm in here today. And I know I'm getting tired, so if I just lay my... I was talking with Pastor Kev yesterday, and I told him, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach on that scripture, you know, for he gives his beloved sleep. And I'm going to have everybody just lay their heads on the table and meditate before the Lord for about a half hour. And then we can wake up and finish the service. John 8:32. It's Jesus talking. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you continue to obey my teaching, you are truly my followers. This is starting in verse 31. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. What would you, if you were to give me a definition of freedom, to be free, what would your definition be? Anybody want to be bold and just, you know, stay awake and give me your best definition of freedom? What it means to you? I know there's lots of them. There's lots. Do what you want. There's one definition of freedom. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Yeah, there's a good one too. Keeping it. All right. Good. Good, good, good. All right. Anybody else? You just didn't know you were going to come and have a quiz, did you? Freedom. What is real freedom? If you go then to John 8, as you continue on in this scripture, we're just going to go ahead and keep reading. See, they answered, we are Abraham's children, and we have never been anyone's slave. So why do you say we will be free? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Everyone who lives in sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not stay with a family forever, but a son belongs to the family forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be truly free. And there are lots of definitions of freedom. We have freedom of speech, freedom, freedom, freedom. But I believe the most important freedom, and the one that's being talked about here, is freedom that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the punishment. And we're going to talk about this, and I hope this frames in a good way, because the title of this section is Freedom Follows Forgiveness. Freedom follows forgiveness. Because to be truly free, you have to first of all understand you were in prison. Because if you don't ever recognize you were in prison, freedom really doesn't mean a whole lot to you. It was great because I walked in this morning, and I think Pete, right? You were talking about something Johnny Cash was doing on your guitar, weren't you? Or a song. And it's interesting because I thought of Johnny Cash, having watched some of his specials. Did anybody see his special from, I think it was either San Quentin or Folsom, when he did his prison tour? Do you see how well received he was? Why? Because they looked at him and they didn't see someone that was looking down on them and preaching at them. Do you know, they accepted him because he had been in prison. He had been there. And so he knew what it meant to be a prisoner. So that when freedom came, it means so much more. You appreciate your freedom when you know you haven't had it. And when it comes to sin, sin enslaves you. Sin puts you in prison. And for me, that was honestly the thing that I knew I needed forgiveness for. I knew my sins and the punishment that I deserved for them. I knew the guilt I was carrying around. I knew the shame, the pain that I had caused other people, the pain that I had caused myself. I was in prison because of that. And when the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes, when I heard this person speak about who Jesus Christ was and that He died and He took the punishment, because I knew without a doubt, a prisoner that really is in prison and knows he's supposed to be there knows he deserves punishment. He knows it's just, that it's fair, and that it is a... He can't argue with it. And that's where I was. I couldn't argue. I knew I deserved to be punished. I knew I deserved to go to hell forever. And when I heard this message that said, you can be free. You can be free. You can be forgiven. All of that guilt, that shame can be taken away. I tell you what, it was like this. If you had a death row prisoner that's been on death row for committing murder, and he knows it, and he knows he deserves to die because he took a life. And yet the day of his execution, right before they're going to walk him down that, what is the long green mile, I think, is in the one movie that it refers to. Someone shows up and says, you know what? I'll take it for you. I'll take it for you. Let me. What do you think goes on in that person? I think there's a struggle. What? No, you shouldn't. And I think that was part of what Jesus, you didn't deserve this. But he said, but I will. I want to give it to you because I love you so much. And on the flip side, when that happens, and that person says, okay, what do you think takes place in his spirit? When he knows, as this guy walks this way towards death, I walk this way towards freedom. No more cell. No more 6x6 cell. No more telling me what I'm going to do every day. No freedom to do what I want. I think you walk out that door and the guy starts dancing. He starts jumping up and down. He is so grateful to that person that I no longer am judged guilty. I am free. And that to me is what the key to freedom in our lives, in our relationship with Jesus Christ is about. Because until we realize, you know what? And again, this is, I think, where Orthodox Christianity, in the sense of solid, biblical-based Christianity, teaches, do you know what we deserve? Because we talk about our rights. Our country is very rights-oriented. What we deserve. I deserve this. When I realized the only thing I deserve is to spend eternity in hell. Period. Everything else was a gift of God's grace. Then, my appreciation and gratefulness. You know, so much talk about, oh, good people, but there's a good God graves on a curve, doesn't he? Nope. When you look at God's definition of good compared to our definition of good, they're nowhere near one another. And when you realize I am not good, but God forgave me, He took my punishment. And something happens inside of you that brings freedom. And I was writing the other day, and I wrote this. I said, it happens when we truly understand forgiveness. The judgment we deserve has been delivered to another, one who gladly took it for us and wants us to understand that it is always available. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but remember, freedom is always available to you. Don't ever stop receiving. We stumble and fall. We risk it all for the sake of momentary satisfaction, yet it never stops being available. It is here. It is waiting. It is longing to fill you with the joy that causes your heart to explode. Take the time to drink it in and let it wash over all of you, body, soul, and spirit. Let it infect your cells with forgiveness. You ever picture that? I love it, and I read it in the book The Shack. I can't remember how he said it, but it was something like, God is the only person that is constantly aware of you and loving you at a subatomic level. And I thought, wow, that is powerful. God loves every part of me, in my cells, in my DNA. When He has forgiven me and He lives in me, that washes over every part of me. And I need to let that infect me in a good way. Infect me with freedom. Infect me with joy. All guilt erased, all condemnation erased permanently. Jesus did not die to condemn. He did not die to leave you wondering if it is true. He died and rose again to establish freedom forever. Forever. Secondly, freedom stands fast. Galatians 5:1. Some of you may know it. In fact, we should have sung it. I just remembered that. You guys sing the song, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That's the one we're reading. My version says this: we have freedom now because Christ made us free. And He's the only one that can truly make you free. Don't lose it. He's talking here because those who'd come in after the Galatians had received Christ and received freedom. Those then, the Judaizers then came in and tried to put the law back on them. Okay, you can have Jesus, but now you have to keep the law. You have to do all the works. You have to be good all the time. Only if you're good all the time does your relationship with Jesus really work. And whether or not we intend to, at times in the church, that's what we tend to do to ourselves. Yes, I know Jesus forgave me, but now I have to be really, 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 really good all the time, or He takes it away. And He doesn't. He doesn't. He knows who we are. He knows who we are. And that's why it says, stand fast in the freedom that you've been given. Stand fast. And that literally, man, it just put down your roots. And when we were in Moscow, just on the outskirts of Moscow, as you're heading towards the airport, there is a monument. And it's a monument that is about as big as this room. And it's barricades. And that barricade, it's like intertwining metal that was put up to stop tanks. And what that particular place marks is as far as the German troops made it to the outskirts of Moscow in what they call the Great Patriotic War. And we know it as World War II. And the price they paid, and this is one of the things that I learned when I was there, actually I knew it a little ahead of time, but when I learned there. I believe in World War II we lost around 365,000 people. And if anybody knows more, I know it was between 300 and 600, but 365 sticks in my brain. Tremendous loss. Tremendous commitment on our part to do so much. Russia conservatively lost between 30 and 40 million people. Between 30 and 40 million people. Now, what we did was incredibly important on D-Day when we opened up a second front. When you study the history of what happened in Russia, every single family, every family in Russia lost at least one, if not two to three people. Every family. That's why this war, and there's a memorial there that I took my girls to and I go every time, is one of the most impactive and powerful ones I've ever been to. Because of the sacrifice that they made. And we didn't hear so much about it because after the war ended, we went straight into the Cold War. And so our level of, and we became enemies. But the sacrifice that was made was incredible. But what they chose to do, and again, they recognize it, and Stalin had a lot to do with that because part of their battle plan was just send people. They didn't necessarily think that much. They just said, send more people, send more people, send more people. Straight into the gunfire. Sooner or later, they're going to run out of bullets or something like that. But the sacrifice, they said, we are not letting you come any further. And that's what we're told to do with our freedom. You know what? I am free in Christ. I am not going to let a works mentality overcome me. This now it's about me working. Yes, we cooperate with God's grace. And there are things we need to choose to do. Absolutely. But it is Him and His grace and His love that brings you liberty. And it is always available. No matter what happens, that's the glorious gift of repentance. Repentance always brings freedom. Always. That's what I love about it. When I stumble, I fall, I sin, I can confess it, repent of it, receive forgiveness, and guess what comes right after it? Freedom. Freedom. Because it's not based on my works. It never has been and it never will be. God honors our faithfulness, yes, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him, but it is not, my relationship is not based upon my works, and it never will be. And that's what He is talking about here. Continuingly, it says, let this freedom permeate your thoughts, your understanding of what life is. Then, once you have, let it transform your position. Stand in freedom. Reckon on freedom. Include others in your freedom. Run toward the promises of what freedom brings. There is no place you can't go. No place you can't go. And on your way, do not invite others that would want to bring you back to guilt and condemnation. And all of us have areas in our life, I do, where if I know I go down that road, I'm going to make a stupid choice. And I'm going to, great, again, there's repentance, yes. But it's a whole lot better. And I do believe this principle. And again, you know the one of, well, it's better to ask forgiveness later than permission ahead of time. I go, yeah, I don't let my daughters get that one too far. But that's what we kind of do. Well, I'll just ask forgiveness later. Now, don't do that. We all know there are areas where we struggle. And for each of us, it's different. And so you can't put your area of struggle on another person, nor if they struggle in something, you can't sit and say, well, what's the matter with you? That's not a problem. Well, it's not a problem for you. But that's why we need community and to help and encourage and strengthen one another, that where you are weak, I can be strong with you. And where I'm weak, you are going to be strong for me. And that's what God wants us to do as we walk in this freedom. You have a choice. You have a path that is open to you. Walk in the revelation of freedom and forgiveness, and don't ever turn away from it. There are things out there that want to steal your freedom. Don't let them. Stand fast. Put down those barricades and say, you aren't going to steal my freedom because it is too precious to me. And lastly, freedom lets the river flow. If you go to John 7, 38, and I'm going to start again in verse 37. On the last and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. If anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from that person's heart, as the Scripture says. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been raised to glory. But later, those who believed in Jesus would receive the Spirit. That river is the person of the Holy Spirit flowing out of you and me. That river is what allows freedom to operate in our lives. To be free to do all that God has called us to do, to be. That's the freedom that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. And it's interesting. When you look at then, I'm going to tie this in, 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, guess what? Freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. And when the Spirit of God lives in you, there is freedom flowing out of your life. You know, the Jordan River. Heard of the Jordan River? It actually is a, I was just reading this the other day, it's a type or a picture that the Jews have thought of representing freedom. Because it was as they crossed through the Jordan, originally, the Israelites, when they first came into the Promised Land, they crossed through the Jordan into their Promised Land, into the freedom that was there. And then we also saw John baptized in the Jordan. And what happened when they, when people were baptized? They confessed their sins. And they came up cleansed. They were free. Jesus was baptized. He went down. And then what happened when He came up? The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came. And then we see what happened in Jesus' life after that moment. It's where the fullness of God's Spirit came upon Him. And then He went out. First of all, 40 days being tempted, or 40 days in the desert. But then He began His ministry of power, His three and a half years of ministry. That we most have, all that we have recorded about Him. The freedom can be found as the person of the Holy Spirit fills us and overflows in us. We look at the disciples. They were told to wait in the upper room. Well, they're just told to wait in Jerusalem. Until what? They were filled with power. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in fullness upon them. They then were transformed and began to walk in freedom. A freedom to minister and do the works that Jesus Christ did. The Holy Spirit is what brought freedom. As He baptized them in the Holy Spirit, they then began to do the works of Christ and live as God called them to. The same thing happened to Paul. Paul was filled with the Spirit. The same thing happened to Stephen. And we see the story of him. He was full of wisdom and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he got to be stoned to death. Woo-hoo! But you hear what he... You read that account. And you see the power and you sense the anointing that is there. And his face is shining. And he looks up into heaven and Jesus is standing. Now we know he went up to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So Jesus must have been honoring Stephen because he said, you know what? I stand for what you're doing because you're standing for me. I honor you, Stephen. Now come and be with me. But it's the Holy Spirit that gave him the boldness and the freedom to do that. And that's what God wants to do in each one of our lives. And interestingly enough, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, one of the most common signs of that baptism in the Holy Spirit is speaking in other languages, speaking in tongues. And it's interesting, many times when I hear people doing that, especially in a corporate worship service sometimes, it almost sounds like a river. It almost sounds like a river just kind of babbling down, running over the rocks. And I thought, isn't that kind of interesting of God? When He speaks of that, He lets us experience a little bit of who He is even more. So I encourage you. Freedom is so precious to us. And I think I've shared with you before, if people would ask me if I could, would put Christianity, what does Christianity mean to me in one word? It's freedom. Freedom from the guilt, the shame, the punishment I deserved. Freedom to be who I was created to be. Freedom to love others. Freedom to follow Christ. Freedom to now, because the Spirit of God lives in me, to let that river flow out and to do His works. And again, I know that, and this is something God has done, that gift of the Holy Spirit, and when in terms of that gift of other languages, as we pray in it, we built up and edify ourselves. Sometimes I have found, and maybe you felt this too, there's been like a stoppage in your life. Something's not right. Something's going on, and I just can't express it. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do, but something's not right. When I begin to pray in my prayer language, It's like the dam is broken and the river can start flowing again. And so I encourage you, where you're at, and I know that you have been taught very well on it, but I encourage you, use your prayer language frequently. Let that river flow. It allows God to really move powerfully through you. And if there are those who haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, be happy to pray with you. If maybe you just sense it, but you don't know, you haven't had a full release in that gift of tongues, come, we'd be happy to pray. I'd be happy to pray with you also. God wants to see you free. He doesn't want to see you bound up. And what's always distressed me is some people struggle so much with this whole concept of speaking in other languages. And I understand, because I struggled with it. I remember I didn't get water baptized because I knew that the most common thing, that when the Spirit came, you spoke in other tongues in a consistent manner. It also happened a lot at a baptism. And so I was going to do that. I was excited. And then I had some friends come up to me and say, you know what? That's of the devil. It is. It's of the devil. And I freaked out. I didn't get baptized. I was so freaked out by that. I go, yes, oh my gosh, I don't. So I didn't. But then I went back to the Scripture. And I studied what the Bible said. And I said, you know what? That promise is there. Now, again, it's not the only evidence, and it's not the most important aspect. It's the life-transforming, changing power and the fruit that it produces and the life that it transforms in you. But it's an incredible blessing and an incredible gift that God has given. And that freedom that it can bring is sometimes something that other things can't. It's a tool. So I encourage you, let that river flow. Let freedom flow. Let real freedom rule and reign in your hearts. And let it transform you and let it transform others. And I will end as I started when I was in Moscow and I saw Mission Living Faith. I saw a church that is walking in freedom. People that are walking in these principles and they're walking in freedom, fulfilling the call of God on their lives. They are being a light in a dark world and they're transforming the landscape of where they are. And that's the destiny God has for every single one of us. So stand fast in the freedom that God has given you and share it with others and let that river absolutely bring life to the landscape of your life and the lives of others. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, what a joy it is to be your children. What a joy it is that you have given us freedom. God, and I know, I confess to you, Lord, I sometimes forget that. And I sometimes let the worries, the challenges, the things rob my freedom. And I tend to get focused on what it is that I have to do now to somehow earn that again. And I repent of that. And I ask you to forgive me and I receive it. I receive the freedom that comes with forgiveness. And I pray that each one of us would reckon on truth that this gift has been given to set us free. And that we would walk in that. And anybody needs that they would simply confess, receive forgiveness, turn away from that which is stopping freedom from flowing, and simply receive your forgiveness and your freedom. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill us all once again. Fill us with you and let your freedom flow out of us as that living water you promised. And that we would, Lord, enjoy it and let it gush out. Not just a stream, not just a little sprinkling, but Lord, let the Columbia River open up the gates and just flow and flood. Lord, we're seeing the impact of floods in this nation. Let the Spirit of God do that in and through our lives and bring the change for the good that only you can bring, Jesus. We receive it, we yield to you, we thank you, and we love you, and it's in your name. Amen. Well, as always, this has been an absolute delight for me. I'm like just energized. And I was really tired when I came. You guys got me going. However, give me a couple hours. I am going to take a nap today. I'm going to try for that one. It's a delight, everybody. Please know that, as I said, your pastors send their love And it's just the delight of my heart and my family's hearts to be a part of your family. And we greatly appreciate all your prayers, all of your love, and all of your support. It means the world to us. And you have been an incredible source of living water to us. And pray that we can continue to do that for each other. And with that, God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day. And we'll see you the next time we see you. God bless. Bye-bye.